Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they kill those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard those things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Sanctuary.
For you, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, may our hearts, may our whole lives be a sanctuary now for your presence. Lord, open us and lead us. May all that we do this day be pleasing to you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If y'all remember last week, I was talking about Stephen, and I used the earlier portion of Scripture where Stephen was telling the church of that day, the Jewish synagogue, the Sadducees, the council, telling them some things that they needed to hear. Last week, I told you some things that they needed to hear to remember from their past, that they needed to look back at and to recognize about who they were and where they had come from. He reminded them they needed to know, as we need to know, our calling. He talked about their calling, where they came from Abraham. He talked about them how that after being called, how the children of Israel rebelled, how God rescued them, how they rebelled again, and how God rescued them once again. And he talked about the true tabernacle, that place that God had given them to worship him in the desert, in the wilderness those years, and then how he had established it on the throne, had established it during Solomon's reign in Jerusalem, with the building of the temple. And that the true tabernacle was not there in that place. It was not made out of stones and wood, precious metals, but that the true tabernacle was in the heart of every person who believed in God. He reminded them of those things from the past. Now, in the scripture that I've read to you today, Stephen's message to the church of that day, or the religious authorities of that day, takes a decided turn. His words move from the tenses of the verbs go from past tense to present tense. The pronouns that he uses when he's referring to those those earlier situations of the past are they and them and those type pronouns. His pronouns that he uses now, he says you. He's talking directly to those people then in that day and time, and I think that he tells them some things that you and I need to hear yet today, 2,000 years later. When we look at Stephen's words, beginning there in that 51st verse of this chapter, he calls them a stiff-necked people. Now what does that mean when he's calling that? It's not a compliment that he's giving them there. I was thinking about this. If you're a stiff-necked person, what does that mean? Well, how many of you have ever slept on your neck wrong at night and you woke up with a stiff neck? I think all of us have at some time or other. You get that stiff neck, and what can you do when you've got a stiff neck? The only thing you can do is look straight ahead, isn't it? You can't look right or left without turning your whole body, and that's a pretty big effort to do that. But when we talk about someone with a stiff neck, I think when Stephen is saying you people are a bunch of stiff-necked people is that you can't see anything except right straight in front of you. And if it's not right there in front of you, if it's the slightest bit to the left or slightest bit to the right, you're going to miss it completely. He's telling them, folks, you need to look. We've had Jesus here on the earth walking around, teaching for those years. The disciples, His apostles who are continuing in that. But you people are missing it. You're missing what He's called you to do. You've missed the Messiah. Folks, we can miss Jesus when we just look straight down the aisle here and we don't see anything to the left. If all I do is, the only people I see in this place here because of my stiff neck are those that are just sitting right on the aisle, I've missed the vast majority of people there are to minister to talk to share Jesus with. Folks, we have to be willing to look beyond just what is in our straight line of sight. In other words, we have to look beyond those people that look just like us, that behave just like us, that are in the same economic class that we are, the same age that we are, the same gender that we are. We have to look beyond those things and see the people that Jesus is calling us to minister to. We have to go beyond being a bunch of stiff-necked people. He also, in that same verse, he says, "You are uncircumcised in heart and hearing." Heart and ears. Uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know that circumcision was the sign of the covenant that Abraham, the covenant with Abraham and God. It was the sign of the Jews that they were a people different and set apart from the rest of all creation. They were a people specifically called by God. Stephen is telling them that you people practice circumcision physically, but your hearts are no different. In your heart, you're not different from anybody else. All you're concerned with is what you can get out of this world and how much you can obtain. And your own power. Yeah, the Romans, the Gentiles, they're concerned about power and prestige and those things. But what are you any different? All you want to do is hang on to the power that you have as officials of the synagogue and as rulers over the Jewish people. You're uncircumcised in heart. There's nothing different about you. And your hearing, your ears is no different. You only hear what you want to hear. You don't hear what God is calling you to hear, and you don't want to internalize that. It just hits and it bounces off. You're uncircumcised in heart and hearing. We can, as a people today, I think Stephen, with the uncircumcision claim there, is talking very much about us. Because the truth is, and how many times have I said it in 8 years? How many times have I said, in some shape, form, or fashion, that folks, we need to be different out here in this world in which we live. We're not called to sell all that we own and come together and live secluded in a monastery or a holy resort of some kind. We're called to live in this world, operate in this world, but we're called to be different in this world. And if we live in this world and we work in this world and we socialize in this world and people don't look at us and know that there's something different about us, then we've missed something somewhere. And we are as uncircumcised in heart as the Jews were in Stephen's day. He also talks about the ears. We like to hear what we want to hear. Say, yeah, preach it today, preacher. Preach it to them. Tell them about it. You know, we like to point out that it's always about somebody else. The preacher was talking, boy, you really got on them today, preacher. Well, folks, when I preach, I step on a lot of toes. The first ones I step on are my own. Because we all like to hear the things that we want to hear, the things that make us feel comfortable. Folks, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to perform a circumcision of our hearts in our ears so that we live as His people called in this world, different and set apart, and that we hear His voice and His calling in all that we do. He next tells them that they persecuted the truth. In verse 52, Stephen says, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one. Now you have done the same thing," basically what he says, "to Jesus." Folks, we sometimes like to persecute the truth. We don't like the truth because it does point out our failures and our faults. And we are ready to shove it to the side to get rid of them. Just a bunch of fanatics, a bunch of Looney Tunes out there. A bunch of Christian fanatics, we can persecute people who share the truth with us sometimes. It's done in the church all the time. Then Stephen goes on, he talks more about the truth, and we are told that when he said those things, when they had heard these things, that they were cut to the heart. You know, the truth hurts, doesn't it? The truth makes us wince sometimes. Have you ever had the truth spoken to you by someone in love? And it really kind of hurts and stings. Have you ever had your parents tell you something that you really didn't want to hear, but you knew it was true, or a teacher tell you something about your performance in class that hurt because it was true? When I went to school one time, and was in a little trouble, and the principal sits there with my mama in the same across the desk from us there, and I'm sitting beside her, and he tells her what I have done at school that I got in trouble about. Boy, that hurt. It hurt bad because he was telling the truth to my mama there that day, and I knew that it wasn't going to be good when we left from there. The truth hurts, folks. It convicts because we know that we've done wrong. And Stephen goes on there, or the story goes on there, that they gnashed at him with their teeth. One of the translations I read says they gnashed on him with their teeth. In other words, what it's saying is, it talks about this gnashing. I read about the gnashing of teeth. And it was something that they did in that culture and time, that it was an insult, it was an example of total disdain for what a person was saying or doing. And they would, in that Eastern culture, Mid-Eastern culture, Near Eastern culture, they would grind their teeth and make a hissing noise. And you can just imagine, you know, with their teeth all gritted and grinding and the kind of face that they were making, it was not a pretty sight. It was not a pretty sound. It was a sign of total disdain and despising of what the person was saying or who the person was. Biting and chewing. And you can just imagine that how they were reacting to what Stephen was said. Well, I've never seen anybody gnashing teeth like that, so to speak, I don't guess. But I've seen some people give some mighty bad looks to people when they spoke the truth. They said something that they didn't like. Have you ever walked into something or a situation and you saw one of those looks that could kill? I mean, where the paint would melt off the walls at that look. that you feared for your life because of the look that was given. That's not a pretty thing, is it? It's not an enjoyable thing. That's what these folks were doing. They were repulsed at Stephen, and they refused to hear anything, and it says that they refused to hear. They stopped up their ears and were, what does it say? They stopped up their ears. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped up their ears. You know, children tend to do that. They don't want to hear something. Na 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 la la la, that kind of thing. You ever done that? Oh, I see some parents looking at children. I know they know what they're talking about. We've done it too, haven't we? They hated what he was saying, so they wouldn't even listen to it. They didn't want to hear it. Folks, we tend to stop up our ears and just mumble sometimes too. We say things that we don't even know what we're saying. We just refuse to hear what God is speaking to us and how He is telling us that we need to open up to Him. That we need to put aside all those things of the world is calling on us. All of those issues that the world demands of us, and our time and our energies and our resources, and we need to listen to Him. They refuse to listen to what Stephen had to say to them. Folks, let's not be like that church. Let's hear what God has to say to us. Let's listen to it with wise hearts and wise minds, and measuring it by what the book says. Just like what I talked about with the kids. Now, Jesus is coming back one day. I believe that with all my heart. But I don't believe that anybody can determine that and figure it out mathematically in the book. I don't believe it's there. I don't believe that these people should be... I believe it's wrong because so many people put everything they had into this and trusted this. Where are they at today? What are they feeling today? Folks, don't refuse to listen to God's Word and His Spirit through it. Don't listen to the human part of who I am, or any preacher that comes up here and shares with you, or any person that shares anything of Christ with you. Trust in His Word and look at it and weigh it all by that. Then they cast Stephen out. They cast him out of their midst. Now, that's kind of what we do sometimes. If we hear something we don't want or someone that we don't want to hear from, we just shut them out so completely. We just cast them out of our lives. We just write them off as the latest nut in the crowd of nuts that we encounter in this world, and we refuse to acknowledge who they are and what they have to say to us. And finally, verse 59, they stoned Stephen. They killed him. Now, I don't know of any of us in here that's killed anybody that we disagreed with or didn't want to hear from. But in a sense, we do, that we shut somebody off so completely, and we can shut God off so completely that we're almost dead to the leading and the possibilities of the Holy Spirit. It's what we do. We do it in all of us at points and times in our life. We just shut down to what God is trying to do to us, for us, through us, with other people, with situations in our life. We just cast it out, cast people out, and we just completely shut them off. What the church needs to know, what we need to hear today, is that we need to be able to see the whole body, the whole creation that God has given us, and not just be fixed on one thing, not have tunnel vision. We need to recognize that our hearts and our ears need to be circumcised, that we need to be able to open ourselves up, to be set apart, to be different from the world, and to hear what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. We must not persecute the truth. We must allow the conviction that comes with truth to transform and change us. We can't rail and deride and make fun of those who speak to us and share the truth with us. We have to listen. And we can't cast people away just because they're different or they say things that are different than what we think. We have to be willing to listen and measure it by what God has given us as a measuring tool. The church needs to hear these things over and over throughout the course of its life. Jesus came and gave us these examples. Stephen lived them out in his martyrdom. Paul later became one who lived them out as well. And there's been people throughout the history of the church that have been willing to do it. People who have been willing to stand up and be counted as Christ. Today, I encourage you in this season of Pentecost that we approach, that you seek out the Holy Spirit, where it is leading you, to what level of commitment and service and relationship it's calling you to be involved in with our Lord Jesus. Notice that the very end of this passage, that as Stephen was dying, he called out and said what? Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Don't charge them with this sin. He was following Jesus. Sounds an awful lot like what Jesus said on the cross as he was dying. Folks, our call in this life is to follow Jesus and to follow Him all the way, even to the cross. It's not a popular thing to say. It's not a comforting thing to say. You'd probably rather hear me telling you that the world's going to end on whatever date. And the truth is, it's a harder thing to live this life and following Jesus every day than it is to stand somewhere and say, come on back, it's happening to the end. Live every day. Live your life. Live it for Jesus. Follow Him all the way. That's what we need to hear today as a church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You that You have called us, that You've set us apart. We thank You, Father, that You have given us the truth. And may we never shut it out. May we always be open to Your leading. Lord, transform us into the people, to the church, that You envisioned for us at creation. Lord, we thank You and we honor You with all that we do here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.